This is Rabbi Loren coming to you live via Skype from the studios of Congregation Shema Yisrael with Jesus Made Me Kosher. I am not ashamed of the gospel, which means good news. And it's good news about salvation through the Messiah, Jesus. And this message, and this message alone, is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes the message, first to the Jewish people and then to the Gentiles. Well, today I have with me the executive director of Jews for Jesus, David Brickner. Jews for Jesus is the largest and best-known messianic Jewish ministry in the world. David is also my dear brother-in-law and friend. David, welcome back to Jesus Made Me Kosher.
Thanks, Rabbi Loren. It's great to be with you.
And it's great to have you. David, God is working among our Jewish people in the world today. The Spirit of God is revealing to more and more Jewish people that Yeshua is the Messiah. God is restoring us physically to the land of Israel. More of the scattered sons and daughters of Israel are returning to our ancient homeland, I believe, according to the prophetic word of God. And God is restoring us spiritually and revealing that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah and that believing in Jesus is the most Jewish thing that a Jewish person can do. Jews for Jesus is
saying, we are living in amazing times, no doubt. You know, for the first time in modern history, there are more Jewish people in Israel than in the United States of America. And if the trends continue, by 2020, the demographers are saying there'll be more Jews in the land of Israel than outside of the land of Israel. Now, that's, of course, if the Lord should tarry. But in the meantime, Jews for Jesus is very active, and we have just opened up our second branch in the second largest city in Israel. The first one was in Tel Aviv, which is the largest Jewish city in the world. Yeah, you thought it was New York? Well, it's not. It's Tel Aviv. And what we're seeing today, you know, Jews for Jesus is in 14 countries around the world and 25 cities, but you know, the greatest openness to the gospel in any Jewish community we're working is in the land of Israel. And the greatest opposition to the gospel of any place that we're working is also in Israel, primarily from the very religious, the ultra-Orthodox, the Hasidic Jewish community. So we have a lot going on in Israel, a lot to be excited about, and a lot that we need God's people praying over.
Tell us about these Behold Your God campaigns in Israel, what's happened so far, and what's coming up in Haifa.
Well, you know, we launched in 2007 the most far-reaching evangelistic campaign in Israel's modern history. We have a commitment, and that's what Behold Your God Israel is, based upon Isaiah chapter 40, get you up on a high mountain, say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. We have a commitment to have saturation evangelistic outreaches in every region of the land of Israel, and we are doing this with the intent to make Israelis sit up and pay attention to who Yeshua is. You know, the amazing thing is that in this land where he walked and talked among the people to whom he first came, they don't even know how to say his name. In Israel today, they call him Yeshu, which is not even a name. It's really an acrostic for a curse, a medieval curse that was given to him by rabbis who oppose Jews believing. And the acrostic Yamak Shemo Vizikro, or Yeshu, stands for may his name and memory be blotted out. And so we really are, you know, battling against an ancient opposition, but more than usually it's just an ignorance. You talk to an Israeli, and they know that Yeshu is who Jesus is, and that, you know, he was a rabbi, a Jew, but that the Christians believe that he was a god, and that's about all they know. And so what we've been doing is taking the message in Hebrew, Yeshu equals Yeshua equals Yeshua. And so that message really resonates with Israelis. It helps them to understand that his real name is Yeshua and that he brings salvation. And so we've been doing this now for a number of years, since 2007, and our next campaign is coming up in Haifa. And we'll have about 25 people out on the streets of Haifa handing out gospel tracts. We're hoping to have full-page media gospel ads in the newspapers and on billboards. We'll be using cell phones and banners over the highways and as many ways as we can, social media, to make Yeshua known. And we're going to do that, as I said, in every region of Israel, and we're finding great openness to the gospel.
Dave, you know that I participated in one of these outreaches in the Jezreel Valley. I was the rabbi chaplain trying to give spiritual sustenance to the troops as they were out there. And this was one of the great efforts in my life regarding pioneering evangelism, reaching out to the Jezreel Valley, the breadbasket of Israel. And it was really something very special.
What was the best part for you, Lauren?
I think the best part for me is when I wasn't just giving messages, but I went out along the highways with those banners that said Yeshua equals Yeshua. You know, just like you said, that was the slogan. Yeshu, this horrible acronym for Jesus, equals Yeshua, his real name, which means salvation, equals Yeshua, salvation. And Dave, we took these, we had these banners, and they were like 8 feet long. It took two of us to hold up these banners, and we went along the highways and the major intersections of the Jezreel Valley, these junctions, and we stood out there holding these banners to the thousands of cars that were driving by, and thousands and thousands of Israelis saw us, saw the banners, got the message. It was, and this was preaching. This was Jewish people preaching the gospel to other Jewish people in a very public way in an area that probably had not experienced that in 1,600 years.
Hallelujah! And you know the amazing thing is that I can't think of a more literal way to fulfill the command of Isaiah chapter 40. Get up on a high mountain, say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. That's what we do when we hold up the name of Yeshua, like with those banners, and people see it, and we're making ourselves visible. That's why you have to get up on a high mountain so that people can see you, making ourselves vulnerable because you saw, as we do, that there's going to be attacks, there's going to be people who will oppose us, making yourself available, and that's because people are really hungry, and they are going to come, and the more visible, available, and vulnerable we are, the more opportunities we're going to have, not just to say to the cities of Judah, behold, hold your God, but to see the people of those cities one by one come to know who their Messiah is. His name is Yeshua, God's salvation.
Dave, tell us about this new opportunity that was just dropped into your lap through media in Israel regarding the Haifa campaign, because that's really special.
It really is. And, you know, we're in the place right now where we have to see God come through big time. We've already prepared for this campaign. It's coming up very soon. And we've raised the funds that we needed to put the boots on the ground, so to speak. But at the last minute, we got contacted by the company that does most of the advertising in the secular media in Israel. And they know that in the past we had done some advertising, and so obviously they're trying to drum up some business. But they've offered full-page gospel ads in all of three major national newspapers in Israel, major billboards throughout the Haifa region, all of this to go in when our Haifa campaign is in full swing. And of course, this is the total amount for all of this for the whole month is $168,000. And that's a lot for a ministry such as Jews for Jesus. We don't have the money in the budget, so we're basically just saying to God's people, if you believe that we should use the secular media to get the message out, like Isaiah said, to get up on a high mountain, well, the secular media, those billboards and those newspapers are part of that, to say to that region, behold your God, then maybe you'd like to give a donation to Jews for Jesus for our secular media campaign in Israel.
And how would people here in the Metro Detroit area and beyond give a donation to Jews for Jesus to support that?
Well, they could go onto our website at jewsforjesus.org, and that would be one way of doing it. And just say Israel Media Campaign, and we'll know what that means. They could call 1-800-MESSIAH, and that would get them an opportunity to maybe give a donation via the phone if they wanted to use a credit card. They could write a check and put it in the mail to Jews for Jesus, 60 Haight Street, San Francisco, California, 94102, or come out to Shema Yisrael on Saturday, and I'll be speaking there. And I'll love to meet you and tell you more about it, and then you can give a donation at that time.
That's great. David, what makes this media buy even more special is that Jews for Jesus was able to advertise in the major Israeli newspapers connected to earlier campaigns, but then that door was shut, and there was some response from, tell us about that, which makes this opportunity even more special.
You know, God promises that there'll come a time when he opens a door that no man can close. Well, he did that in 2007 when we had our first campaign in Tel Aviv. We had a wonderful campaign. People were talking about it. In fact, during that campaign, as a result of this media, we had our Israel branch leader, Dan Sered, on the Good Morning Israel program, which is a national television program very much like Good Morning America, for 10 minutes on television, national television, sharing his testimony, sharing the gospel. He was debated by a rabbi, but Dan did such a wonderful job. And, you know, those kinds of media opportunities in Israel just don't come on a regular basis. And so we were so thrilled, and that came as a result of the media. But then the religious, the rabbis, those who opposed the gospel, were vehement and using all of the political power that they had to shut that opportunity off, and they did. And so since 2007, we haven't had the opportunity, and now we do. And so God opened another door, and we'd like to walk through it. We'd like to believe that God's going to raise up people who understand the opportunity and want to give to make this media campaign happen. The Haifa campaign's happening. Will the media happen? Well, that's up to God's people, and we're just waiting on him to see what they'll provide.
I know God has put on your heart this whole idea of reconciliation between Jews and Arabs through Messiah. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, reconciliation is an implication of the gospel. First of all, it starts with God. We have to be reconciled to him through faith in Jesus. The sin barrier is broken down. But also, Paul tells us in Ephesians that the middle wall of partition likewise has broken down between Jew and Gentile, making one new man. Now, the implications of that for Israel are stark, because you have the conflict between Israeli Jews and Palestinians. And the world has tried, governments have tried, Washington, D.C. has tried to bring about a peace plan, and it doesn't work, because peace has to begin in the heart. And the only one who can accomplish that is the Tsar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. And so the implications of the gospel in Israel is that God's peace plan can bring about reconciliation between Arab and Jew that has so far, by human efforts, been impossible. And we're seeing that happen. I mean, when an Israeli and a Jew, Israeli Jew and an Arab can say to one another, I love you. In Jesus' name, I love you. The world will really see the reconciling power of the gospel. Now, that is happening, and it's happening especially in Haifa. Haifa is a very eclectic city. It's very diverse. About 20% of the population is Arab. About 20% of the population, or 30% of the population, is Russian speaking immigrants, and then the rest are Israelis, and they're very secular. And we have leading that campaign an Israeli Arab and an Israeli Jew. Peter and Yarden Nasser are the leaders of our campaign, and Peter is an Arab. And his wife, Yarden, is an Israeli Jew. And they met through the Ministry of Jews for Jesus, fell in love, got married, joined the staff of Jews for Jesus a number of years ago, have been serving with us for over 5 years, and just this past January, opened up a brand new branch of Jews for Jesus there in Haifa. So we're very excited about this campaign and what that's going to mean. We'll have Arabs and Jews standing side by side on the streets, handing out gospel tracts. I mean, if ever there was an opportunity for Israelis to see how God's peace plan works, it's going to be right there on the streets of Haifa this spring. So we want to ask God's people to pray that the power of the Holy Spirit would come down and just highlight this issue. You want peace between Arabs and Jews? Come to the Prince of Peace. He can make it happen. When all else fails, Yeshua can make peace in our hearts and make peace between God and men and make peace between Arab and Jew. We believe it, and that's the message we're proclaiming.
So let me get this straight. The leader of your Haifa outreach campaign is an Arab Christian.
He is.
And he's also the leader of your branch in Haifa in general, Peter.
Absolutely.
And the chaplain for your campaign is also an Arab Christian. Isn't that right?
Yeah, and he pastors a Messianic Jewish congregation in Haifa. So go figure. We're turning everything on its head. If only Christians could come with me onto the streets in Haifa, could meet the people that are so sweet and so committed to the gospel and so willing to stand up against all odds, against opposition, without fear. It would be so encouraging because, of course, we're living in a rather diverse community here. The greater Detroit area has the largest Arab and Muslim community in the United States. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we could see this kind of reconciliation happen here as the gospel is unleashed? If it can happen in Haifa, it can happen in Dearborn.
That's great. Dave, you've been a believer for quite a long time. In your opinion and in your experience, is the evangelical church more into or less into evangelism in general? And then I want to follow that up with asking you a second question. Is the evangelical church more into or less into Jewish evangelism?
Well, I would say that the trends have been away from proclamation in the church of late. And, you know, I think that perhaps because of a kind of a loose understanding of the significance of truth, or we've been believing the test marketers who say that, you know, post-modernity is an into propositional truth, and so we have to just go out and tell stories. And, you know, I mean, I believe the gospel is relational. I believe the gospel is story, but the gospel is also the way and the truth and the life, and we need to be unashamed in proclaiming the gospel. A lot of people are going around with this idea that, you know, in order to really reach people, you have to focus more on mercy ministry or on issues of justice. And I don't think that it's wrong to focus on those issues, but those are not what the Great Commission is all about. The Great Commission is all about the gospel. Jesus told his own disciples, the poor you will always have with you. Jesus fed the poor, but he didn't try and say that feeding the poor is the way to save them. They need the gospel just like everybody else. And you know, some have tried to say that, you know, they can't hear the message of the gospel if their stomachs are growling. Well, when your stomach is growling, you might be more open to hearing about what God has for you when life is looking fairly bleak. So we have to kind of change the paradigm here and recognize that while justice and mercy ministry are important, they are not the proclamation of the gospel. They are not missions. They are not evangelism. And therefore, we need to recall the church back to the cause of the gospel. And the second issue with regard to Jewish evangelism, similarly, that has gotten watered down. There's a lot of groups that believe that, you know, the best way to relate to the Jewish community is just, you know, to make friends, to kind of support Israel in some vague way, or to give money to help Russian immigrants make their way to Israel from the former Soviet Union. And there are organizations such as Christians United for Israel or the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews that are very effective in raising a lot of funds from Christians who have a heart for Israel but don't know how to express that. The best way to express, if you love my Jewish people, if you love Israel, then give us the gospel. That's the best gift that anybody could give. And that may be involving, you know, giving money for poor people or other things like that, but it's not the central issue, which is the proclamation of the gospel. That's what the church needs to be called back to as well.
Some Christians feel that they have to earn a Jewish person's friendship before they can bring them the good news about the Jewish Messiah, this idea of friendship evangelism. In the current Jews for Jesus newsletter, I think Moish had an article about friendship evangelism and kind of the mythology of friendship evangelism. Could you address that?
Yes. I mean, it's not an either-or. To be a friend to someone is to want to share what's the most important thing on your heart. But when some people talk about friendship evangelism, they've got this idea that they're supposed to be a PR agent to get people to like God. So that, if we get them to like us, then they'll like God. Well, that's bizarre. I mean, when Jesus entered into this world, it wasn't because he got an invitation from a friend. His entry into this universe was a rude, invasive invasion of the power of God. No one welcomed him, no one wanted him, but he came anyway. And he came bringing a message of love and hope and peace. And, you know, I think friends, you know, making friends is really important, but not as some sort of a surreptitious way of sneaking in the gospel. If you think about it like a proposal, you know, if you want to, marry a girl, you don't sneak in the marriage proposal. You know, hey, let's go out for dinner, and maybe after that we'll see a movie, and by the way, would you marry me? You know, it's like you set it up. You make a very intentional proposition. You get down on one knee. You say, I love you, and I want to spend the rest of my life with you. Would you marry me? Well, God is proposing to Jews and to Arabs and to all kinds of people today, and he wants to use us to make his proposal. We need to make a very specific proposal. Man is sinful, and because of that, separated from God. All of the problems, the brokenness, and the struggles that we have in our own lives are because of our sin, and it separated us from God. But God did something about it. He sent his beloved son, Jesus the Messiah, to die to pay the penalty for our sin. But because he's the Messiah, you see, death could not hold him, and the grave could not keep him, and he rose again from the grave. And now those of us who put our faith and trust in him can have forgiveness for all of our sins, past, present, and future. So God is proposing. He wants to be your Savior if you'll say yes to him. So would you say yes to Jesus today? That's the message of the gospel. That's the message that we have for people who we want to be our friends, but who we want more than that to be friends of God.
So we don't have to earn the right to bring this message through our friendship. We have that right. We have that obligation. Dave, you are going to be with us Saturday morning at Congregation Shema Yisrael. You're going to be our guest speaker, and thank you for doing that. You're also going to be the keynote speaker Friday night at a banquet for Shalom Ministry at the San Marino Club in Troy. Shalom Ministry is a wonderful ministry led by African Americans, John and Donna Denson, reaching out to the Jewish people with the good news and trying to encourage especially the African-American church to be better connected to the Messianic Jewish community like you and me. And for more information about that banquet, you can call 248-312-8277. That's 248-312-8277. And David, I want to thank you so much for being my guest on Jesus Made Me Kosher today. And I'm hoping that maybe you can come back on Thursday if you have time and we can continue what I think is a very important conversation. What do you think?
I love it.
That's great. This is Rabbi Lauren. I'm speaking for all of us who are part of Congregation Shema Yisrael. Thankful to the WLQV Faith Talk 1500 audience for listening. This is Election Day. Please go out and vote. That is your duty. That is your obligation. And shalom, shalom.
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can join us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.